And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for what he has done for us since we started the retreat. And we're praying that this time, the Lord will focus our attention on heavenly things. There are people that live so much on earth, they don't remember the rapture. They don't remember. God is preparing a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. And they make up their minds that they're going to be there. The men of the earth, men of the soil, men of this earth. But we are built for something on high. That's why we come at this time. And we're talking about the heavenly inheritance. I pray that God will give us wisdom so that our mind, our hearts, our devotion, our aspiration will be set on things on high in Jesus' name. And by the way, if there is anything we need to be united about, join our minds, our hearts together. And purposefully push on until everybody in the church understands that this is the scene, the one solitary indispensable scene, that without it, all our efforts are useless. If there's anything we need to unite about, it's about this pursuit after heavenly things. Not making jest or making light of something so desperately important. I pray that God will give us the wisdom to work for the eternal welfare of our people in Jesus' name. If you have ever got any letter from us that carries our motto, our drive, our purpose, our goal, our reason for being in the ministry, you'll find these two things. Number one, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto us. Number two, you'll find at the bottom of the letter, your spiritual welfare is our concern. And we're getting back to that, as I, you know, said earlier. We're going back to Bethel. We'll get there in Jesus' name. There may be hurdles on the way to cross. We'll pay the price. We're going to get there. There may be storms. There may be opposition. There may be resistance. We're going back to that Bethel where we first met the Lord. And the emphasis of the message, of the singing, of the ministry, was holiness unto the Lord. Why don't you close your eyes and tell the Lord, I'll be part of the conquering team. I'll be part of the people that will forge ahead and stand on this one single thing. Holiness unto the Lord. Open your mouth and pray and talk to the Lord. Don't replace holiness with healing. Don't replace discipleship with deliverance. Don't replace heavenly inheritance with earthly inheritance. And when you come here, you come with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, all your attention. And you want to focus on what is really important, what is really essential. And you are there, you want to soak in the word of God. You are not there to disturb anybody. You are not there to distract anybody. You are not there to, you know, point attention to other things. You are not there to kind of destroy what the Lord is building up. In Jesus' name we pray. Almighty God, we do bless your name because you have a good purpose for us as a church, as individuals, as families. And we're praying, Lord, that that purpose will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. We come this morning to think and to talk and to meditate on this important essence, essential thing, the heavenly inheritance. We're praying, oh Lord, that portion of the heavenly inheritance will be ours in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll not be like, you know, those who are these things of the world, and they made it in life, but eventually they almost lost their souls, or some of them totally lost their souls. I think of Samson that had the greatest power of any human being, supernaturally given, prophetically given, and yet he made a fool of himself and died as a fool dies. Was he called Solomon, that had wisdom, he was wiser than everybody in the land, supernaturally. But then again, he went into the works of the flesh, and he set the record of having 700 wives and 300 concubines, a king in the land. But think of Judas Iscariot, who was so close to the Lord, and he saw all those miracles and everything, and yet eventually he died an apostate. We're praying, oh Lord, ours will not be like them in Jesus' name. You have chosen us, you have pointed us out, you have selected us, and Lord, we're going to follow till the end in Jesus' name. We pray that our hearts will be set on the goal, our mind will be set on the goal, and this one thing needful, you will grant to every one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray you open the scriptures to us once again this morning. Give us the faithfulness, everything it takes to make it on the final day. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading from verse 14. Hebrews 11, we're looking at verse 14. The word of God is reminding us that the people God called in the past, he called them to inherit a blessing. But they understood the difference between earthly blessing and heavenly blessing. On earth, we live for about 70 years, 100 years, 120 years, or maybe a little bit more. But then when we think about the great beyond, you think of 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, indefinite, on and on. Obviously, we need to think about that time when we will see what inheritance has carried us unto eternity. Hebrews 11 verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. The Lord had fulfilled his promises for them over here on earth. It says, but then they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's the heavenly inheritance. He has prepared for them a city, and they needed to prepare themselves for that city as well. Prepared people for the prepared city. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Paul the apostle was telling the Corinthians, these were people that had what we call the gifts of the Spirit, that seen miracles, that see the manifestation of the power of faith. And it's like they were just rejoicing in that. And they forgot the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And all they wanted was more of these earthly things, more of manna to eat, more of water out of the rock to drink. And then Paul the apostle reminded them, if in this life only we have success, only in this life, We have education only in this life. We have promotion only in this life. We have position only in this life. We have healing only in this life. We have deliverance only in this life. We have miracle only in this life. We have wife only in this life. Husband only in this life. Children only in this life. Answers to prayer only in this life. Revival only in this life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Transpire to yourself and ask yourself, what makes you tick? What makes you excited? What gives you joy, spontaneous joy? Is it something in this life? A new privilege, a new position, a new property, a new whatever it is in this life? Do you ever think about the time when Christ will come? And then those who are ready are the people he will take home. Do you ever think about the time when, if Jesus tarries, you will die? And then you will go to an eternity, either an eternity of joy or an eternity of judgment, suffering. Do you ever think about the time when all the things we have in this life will not count? And the only thing that will count will be that heavenly inheritance. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we'll be of all men the most miserable. But that's an heavenly inheritance. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading here from verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, it takes mercy to forgive us. It takes mercy to dig us out of the miry clay where we were sunk. It takes mercy to bring us out of the Egypt of the world and bring us to the Canaan of righteousness. It takes mercy to look at us captives to sin and captives to Satan and bring us to become disciples and converts and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abundant mercy that has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven. And it's only if you get there, you'll be able to have that inheritance. Unto that inheritance reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. As we think about and talk about and read about and learn about this faithfulness for heavenly inheritance, we're going to consider faithfulness in three perspectives and three areas. Number one, the master's faithfulness. The Lord's faithfulness. The faithfulness of the Lord himself, that he has promised that heavenly inheritance. And as many as will open up their hearts and their lives unto him, God is faithful. Christ is a faithful one. The master's faithfulness. Number two, the minister's faithfulness. Have you noticed that Calvary will mean nothing to the congregation if the minister never talks about Calvary? Have you noticed? That if the minister is not faithful to redirect our minds towards heavenly things, the members of the church will be totally ignorant of heavenly things. If the minister is not faithful as the master, to declare unto us, this is the way, walk ye therein. If the ministers are men pleasers, if the ministers are self pleasers, if the ministers are society pleasers, if the ministers just like they're like Aaron, whatever the people want, give it to them. They don't respond well to the message of being born again. Be quiet about that. They don't run when you talk about holiness. So be quiet about that. The minds of the young people, and they are not thinking about heaven. They are not thinking about spiritual things. All they want to think about is what interests young people of today. So listen to them and say only what they want to hear. If the minister is not faithful, our minds shall be on the things of this life that perish. That's why, as we consider the master's faithfulness, we consider the minister's faithfulness. And then, number three, the members themselves. If the master is faithful, if the minister is faithful, then that faithfulness combined together should wake up every member of the body of Christ and say, this is so important, and the ministers are faithfully declaring the word unto us, therefore we are going to be faithful as well. And it is the faithfulness, allow me to use the word, the trinity of faithfulness, all combined together without any interruption, it is that gets us focused on this heavenly inheritance. Number one, the master's faithfulness in providing the heavenly inheritance. He's provided it, faithful in providing the heavenly inheritance. Number two, the minister's faithfulness in proclaiming the heavenly inheritance. God provides it. The minister proclaims it. Number three, the member's faithfulness in possessing the heavenly inheritance. The member's faithfulness in possessing the heavenly inheritance. Number one, we're talking about the master's faithfulness in providing the heavenly inheritance. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, think about that, by means of death, when you think deeply of the cost of redemption, of the price of redemption, that he took the death of the only begotten Son of God, if it was that serious to provide the heavenly inheritance for us, think, meditate, ruminate, turn it over in your mind, that he took the death of the mediator, the death of the Messiah, the death of the master, to provide this for us. You will not make it cheap. You will not toss it aside. You will know the importance and how essential this is. It says, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. To receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, always think about the cost of this heavenly inheritance. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Think about that. Christ loved the church. And the love they were talking about is not sentimental love. It's not a love that will see James and John manifesting the boisterous, angry, sundrous emotion and just leave them like that. The love we're talking about is not the love that will see the attitude of place seeking. Let one stay on this side, maybe John, and the other on this side, James. And then the Lord will love them so much and just allow them to have pride and self-seeking. The love we're talking about is the love that's able to rebuke them so as to prepare them for the heavenly inheritance. The love we're talking about is not the kind of love that Jesus had, that Jesus would have for Peter. When he declared, I'll be going to the cross to die for the salvation of humanity. Then Peter will take him and hold him and say, that will never happen to you. And Jesus will smile and say, Peter, I know you love me so much, you don't want me to die. Thank you very much, I appreciate your love. Not that, it's the kind of love that will say, get thee behind me, Satan, because you do not understand the things that are of heaven. Rather, you understand only the things that are on earth. And so come back to this verse, husbands, love your wives even as Christ. The best manifestation, demonstration of love you can have for your wife is to help her, tilt her, influence her to get to the point where she's thinking about heaven, rapture all the time. If your wife is going into worldliness and going into false worship and going into, you know, whatever it is, works of the flesh, and you love your wife to the, I know this is wrong, I know that whosoever does this will not get to the kingdom of God, but you know, we're just ready to over and over, we're ready to yesterday, we're ready today. Again, husbands, love your wives. I'm just going to love her, whatever she does, unconditionally. Even if she follows the way of Jezebel, I'm still going to love her all the same. That's not the love we're talking about here. That one is misplaced love. That one is misunderstood. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, that he gave himself. You're willing to give up anything to make your wife go in the direction of heaven. And the same thing with the wife. The wife should love the husband. And the love we're talking about is not such a sentimental, fleshly love. Anytime he demands this, I'm going to love him, I just give him. If he demands alcohol, I just love him. That's what he takes. I know he's not all right, but that's what he wants. If he demands for me to go and buy some, if that's what he wants. In fact, some women, some wives, they say, if my husband, you know, wants to have a girlfriend or whatever, I've made up my mind, I'm going to love my husband unconditionally. It doesn't matter what my husband does. If he wants to do whatever, I just love him. I give him the permission and I tell him and I say, you will never do anything, my husband, that will hurt me. Even if you have another woman and I see you together on the bed, I've made up my mind, I'm just going to live in love for the rest of my life. That's devilish love. That's not the kind of love we're talking about here. It's the kind of love that jealously watches over that man. You want to still be together in heaven. You want the heavenly inheritance to be the number one in your love. In the love of Christ, that was the end thing. That was the focus. And so, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Well, it's not, you know, to wash even ordinary plates, wash plates clean. And that takes some scrubbing. And it takes some mind to do that. And when a person is worldly, dirty, defiled, sinful, to wash that person, purge that person, purify that person until he becomes a glorious personality, that takes some effort. It takes some courage. And when you think about a church, you know, there are people that want it this way, others want it this way, others want it that way. To make that church to become righteous, holy, glorious, it takes the kind of love that Jesus had. Because there'll be people that say, what kind of direction are we going? What kind of message are we hearing? What kind of emphasis are we laying? And then they might try to put some pressure. If you love yourself, if you want to pamper yourself, and you say, looks like the people don't love the message of holiness, and if you want an easy life, if you want a peaceful life, you better give them what they want. They'll not be a glorious church. They'll not be rapturable. That's why we who are ministers, you must bear the heat of the day and the heat of the period, so that it will be a glorious church. Christ has done his part. And you now, you need to do your part so that this church will be rapturable in Jesus' name. I want an amen there. In verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord will do it. We've seen the provision of the Lord, the Master's faithfulness in providing the heavenly inheritance. Number two now, the minister's faithfulness. The minister's faithfulness in proclaiming the heavenly inheritance. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I'm reading verse 26. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. The blood of men are on your hands if you don't declare what it takes to get to heaven unto them. And if you know you are going to have just one opportunity to do something, to say something, to preach something, to declare something, to proclaim something, the one essential, important message that will get people ready for heaven, if this is your only chance, that's what you do, then you are sure that you'll be pure from the blood of all men. And here Paul the apostle, he told these elders that he collected together, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned, I have not neglected, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. As we check up in the word of God, we are going to find that Paul the apostle declared the whole counsel of God. He spoke about the depravity of men, about the need of repentance, about the necessity of restitution, about the need to be righteous, righteous by the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, about the need to be pure and purified and sanctified, and about marriage, one man, one wife, until death do us part. He spoke about reaching out, I'm a great debtor, and I must preach the gospel about evangelism. He spoke about water baptism, spoke about the Lord's Supper. He spoke about the life of the Christian. You are washed, you are cleansed, you are justified, you are sanctified. He talked about readiness, preparation for glory, preparation for heaven. He spoke about the rapture. He said the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. He spoke about the Antichrist. He spoke about the coming of the Lord to judge the world and to establish his kingdom. He spoke about the regathering of the people of Israel. Spoke about eternity, spoke about everything, and he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. It was not just hammering every time, healing. Of course he healed people, of course he prayed for people to be healed, but the whole counsel of God, that is what makes us free from the blood of all men. And then he passes that over to the ministers. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Faithfulness. Be faithful. You're a minister. If you don't have the backbone to declare the word of God against sin and to bring sinners into the kingdom, why are you a minister if you're just there as a sugar daddy? If you're just there as a sugar mommy? If you're just there to, you know, how are you children? This is wonderful. What a church we have. And no backbone and no voice that has the message ringing into the hearts of the people. The minister has to be faithful. And then in chapter 26 of Acts chapter 26, I'm reading from verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes. That's a calling. Come on, be faithful. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I want you to notice something here. It was before a king. And then he was not ashamed to tell the king about his call, about his commission, about his commitment. He said, King Agrippa, here is my calling. Verses 16 to 18. King Agrippa, here is my commission. Look at verse 18. King Agrippa, this is my commitment. I have not been disobedient unto the heavenly vision. More than that, it's not going to give King Agrippa himself the message. You know, we're coming to the situation where we don't understand that the message we have is for everybody. If you happen to be before the kings of the land, you talk about things that will not relate to everlasting life, eternal life. You want to build up the image of the church and your own image as a minister. The man is a politician, and so you try to, whatever you can do to moderate yourself, manage yourself, and talk about politics. That one, that great man, is the richest man in the land, and is a businessman. You want to talk about what he wants to hear. And then we have this thing we call, you know, these highly placed people. We gather them together. And if anybody needs to hear the truth about repentance and about restitution, these are the people that need to hear. But we have now reconditioned ourselves that we talk about salvation and heaven and holiness to the general people, to the ordinary people, to the poor people. But the people who already made it in life, we must be very careful. They don't want to hear about holiness. If we want them in our church, we must talk about what they want. And the consequence of that sometimes is that now when you know that they're in the church, the only thing you talk about is you are talking to them, what they need to hear, what they want to hear. And then we neglect the multitude there. And you can lose the whole church by concentrating on those great, great people. Spend your time wisely. Occupy the position of the minister wisely. The Lord is about to come. Now, see what he told King Agrippa when he said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. Look at verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet, fit, suitable for repentance. Now he's going to make a direct, pungent, confrontational presentation unto King Agrippa himself. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It was having some impact. And he said, Paul, if you go on, I will not have any excuse. Almost thou persuadest me. He didn't talk about politics. He didn't talk about riches. He didn't talk about wealth. He didn't talk about self-esteem. He didn't talk about promotion. He didn't talk about us. He spoke about repentance before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bounds. I pray that God, Agrippa, God will convert you, and you'll just be like me, except that I'm praying for you that when you get converted, you'll not suffer the persecution I'm suffering. You see the faithfulness we're talking about, the minister's faithfulness in proclaiming the heavenly inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in ministers, in preachers, in pastors, in teachers, teaching the Sacred Scripture, in teachers, teaching the children, teachers, teaching the youths, and teaching the students on the campus, and teaching the women. It's required in ministers that a man, a woman, a teacher, a worker, a minister be found faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 1, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word. Preach the word. People want entertainment. Preach the word. The media has conditioned the minds of people to want entertainment. And the minds of people cannot stay on a message of a few minutes except there's something that comes to remind them of the flesh. Internet, television, and all the things you have. You even have them on the streets now. The boards, the screens are there. And the media in the world is ministering to the restless nature of men. And then, of course, to, the backside and the defiled nature of man. That they bring this and bring that. And you find that, there are churches that say, if you want the church to be, interesting, there's a way the members of the choir, the ladies will dress to, just like the pop stars outside. There's a kind of music that the people want. The kind of music that will appeal to the flesh and get their feet in motion and get their bodies shaking. And if you look at the world, and if it's just to gather crowd together, all that can be done, but that's not seeking the heavenly inheritance. But if our goal, if our purpose is to seek and to have the heavenly inheritance, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine and long suffering. If you're going to emphasize the doctrine that gets people thinking about heaven, get ready for some not short suffering, not moderate suffering, long time suffering. There might be opposition. Get ready. And if you cannot bear the heat of the fire, what are you doing in the kitchen? If you cannot bear the opposition of backsliders and sinners, what are you doing on the pulpit? It will come. And that will not make you to stop preaching the doctrines that will lead people to life eternal. In fact, long suffering comes before doctrine, which means go back to the cross and then lay everything there on the altar and say, Lord, I'm about to become a minister. And I know that if I'm a minister and I'm going to be faithful to you, suffering will come. Now I lay my flesh on the altar. Whatever kind of suffering comes, long time I will bear it. And then you remind yourself of that every day. And then you come out now. If you are ready for long suffering, then you are ready to preach the doctrine. In verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. I pray God will make us faithful. I said I pray God will make us faithful. Number one, the master's faithfulness in providing the heavenly inheritance. Number two, the minister's faithfulness in proclaiming, preaching, declaring the heavenly inheritance. Number three, the member's faithfulness in possessing the heavenly inheritance. The member's faithfulness. Let's come to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let's look at the example of the people that went before us. Members' faithfulness in possessing the heavenly inheritance. Psalm 78, verse 57. But turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. It's talking about the children of Israel. Miracles abundant. Power manifestation very clear from the land of Egypt. You know all the miracles that took place. The rod became a serpent. That serpent swallowed up all the serpents of the magicians. The water turned into blood. And then eventually Moses giving respite unto Pharaoh and his people. The lies, L-I-C-E, coming upon men. The moraine, the hail, coming upon their fields. The boils that came on everyone. The night that came during the day, thick darkness, groping in darkness for 3 long days. The frogs that occupied the land. The locusts that ate up all their vegetation. And then eventually, finally, the death of the firstborn. Israel saw miracles. They came out of Egypt by miracle. They were delivered. And then at the Red Sea, miracle. After that, the coming of the manna every day. Miracles. Talk about miraculous provision. Miracles. The water out of the rock. The defeat of the Amalekites. They went from one miracle to the other, one miracle to the other. But the mind of men just stayed on that. After they have been given one miracle, the next question is, can God furnish table in the wilderness? And with all the miracles, here is the final conclusion. Verse 57, but they turned back and they dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. That's the reason why miracles have their place. For the teaching of the word of God, preparing people for that promised land that has the place, conspicuous place, that members will need to understand that faithfulness is required of members to get to that land of glory. Psalm 31, verse 23. Psalm 31, verse 23. O love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. The Lord preserveth the faithful. He wants faithfulness from us so he can preserve us unto the heavenly kingdom. In Psalm 101, Psalm 101, verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to his word, faithfulness to his commandments, faithfulness at all times, faithfulness in small things, and faithfulness in great things. Luke chapter 16 from verse 10. Luke chapter 16 verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean. He that is faithful in that which is least. As you look at all the doctrines of the Bible, there are people that will categorize the doctrines. This is essential for me. This is a non-essential. This is redundant. This is unprofitable. This will not help me in my business. This will not give me peace in my home. This will not give me success in the world of today. Therefore, I pick this and I reject all this. Those ones I reject, I count them as the least. But the Lord is expecting that he has given his word, like he gave the body. He gave you a body. And a little finger is there. You'll not say that's not essential. It's part of your body. One tooth out of a set of 32. You'll not say that's not essential. He gave you all those teeth. And even when one is missing, you want to see how to replace that. And he gave you 10 toes. You don't want to remove one and say that one is least, that one is not important. He gave you, see these ear lobes. And eardrums are still inside. You don't say my eardrum is intact. If I cut off the earlobe, that doesn't matter at all. He has given everything. Like he gives you the members of the body. And you are not counting this one is unimportant. This one is least. But he wants you to preserve everything. The same thing has given you the word. And the totality of the word of God, he wants us to be faithful and obedient. And he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon there means money. If you have not been faithful in material things, in money. You deal with money, you are not faithful in the church. You deal with money, you are not faithful in your company. You deal with money, you are not faithful in your establishment enterprise. If you are not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, in money, who will give you, will commit to your trust the true riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? The Lord is calling us to faithfulness because of the heavenly inheritance. And I pray that none of us will miss that heavenly inheritance in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. Here it tells us in verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Listen to this. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The Lord calls us to salvation. When we respond, he chooses us, brings us into the kingdom. And it brings us into the kingdom not just to have things here on earth, miracles on earth, blessing on earth, healing on earth, success on earth. It's preparing us for the heavenly inheritance. He has called us, he has chosen us. Now that last word, faithful. Those are the people that will live with him in eternity. And I pray you'll be among the number in Jesus' name. Be faithful. The grace is there. I will supply you the grace. The master is faithful. The ministers are faithful. The member must be faithful. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord with our heart, knowing this is the essential thing. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Tell the Lord that whatever it will take to help you to be faithful to the word and faithful in obedience, faithful to have the experience of salvation intact. Now, whatever you are doing, you'll not forget yourself and throw away your salvation. And just be active and active in the church without real salvation. You'll not backslide. You'll not be like a Judas Iscariot. You'll not be like a Solomon, not wise man. He used his wisdom to disobey the word of God. Women. Wells, wine. Tell the Lord, I can't hear you pray. Faithfulness. Lay it on the altar. Your heart. Your life. And be fully committed. Whatever yourself, be faithful. You are built for heaven. Heaven should be your goal. If in this life only you have hope in Christ, you'll be of all men the most miserable. If you have not been sanctified, seek the Lord. That inward holiness, that inward righteousness. Holiness in all ramifications. Humility. Obedience. Love to God. Innocence. Innocent of evil. Innocent of corruption. Innocent of bribery. Newness of life. Endurance, whatever it will take. Separation from the world. Single-mindedness. Giving to the Lord completely. Holiness in all its areas of application. Holiness in the home. Holiness in the church. Holiness in the secret. Holiness in the public. Holiness as you are growing older. As holy. In fact, you need to be more holy than when you were young. Your era is coming. You are nearer going home. You are nearer your final day. If there's anything that ought to occupy your attention now, it's holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness in dressing. Holiness in comportment. Holiness in your language. Holiness in your character. Holiness in your interaction with people. Holiness in your family. Holiness with ladies, sisters in the church. Holiness with ladies outside the church. Holiness with men in the church. Holiness with men outside the church. Holiness every moment. Holiness in all applications to your life. Don't be forgetful. It's an essential thing. The master is faithful. The ministers must be faithful. The members must be faithful in possessing this essential characteristic. Experience to get us ready for that day. For sick, if he heals us, wonderful. If he decides not to heal us, but to take us to heaven, great. Holiness unto the Lord. I watch word and song. Not only song, a very life and lifestyle. Faithfulness. You're making up your mind to have, to possess the grace. Spiritual, supernatural strength that will keep you ready for that day, for that heavenly inheritance. Are you saved? Are you born again? Does the Spirit bear witness in your heart? A real child, converted, consecrated, committed child of God? Are you free from guilt, condemnation? Have you done restitution where necessary? Have you experienced the righteousness of Calvary? Are you sanctified? Is a stony heart taken away? Do you have a tender heart, a soft heart, a receptive heart, a heart of flesh? Are you pure, transparent? Or do you deal with lies? This one is an innocent lie. You read that in the Bible, innocent lie. White lie. You're not a serious character. Are you transparent? Is your affection set on things above? What kind of love do you have for your wife? Kind of love that will keep on smiling and going steady the midst of sin, the flesh, worldliness coming into the family? What kind of love do you have for your husband? While the man is reversing his motion, going back to the world, heading for hell. Love. That's love. Wicked love. The members, faithfulness in possessing the heavenly inheritance. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name at this time. Thank you for helping us to be faithful to the word. We pray, Lord, the grace to be faithful to the very end. Give to every one of us in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, you have been so faithful to provide everything we need at Calvary that will take us to that heavenly kingdom. We pray that you will give all our ministers in this church the faithfulness to declare, to proclaim, to preach the totality of the word of God that will get your people ready for heaven in Jesus' name. Lord, for all of us, members, workers, leaders, individually, corporately, prepare us for heaven. And the grace to possess salvation, so great salvation, to possess clean life, the life of a new creature, and to possess that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, grant us the faithfulness in Jesus' name. In the day and in the night, in the church and at home, in the office and on the road, anywhere we find ourselves, oh Lord, grant us the backbone and the courage to remain faithful unto you in Jesus' name. In times of persecution, in times of opposition, in times of temptation, in times of trial, keep us faithful, obedient to your word, knowing that even though a man may not be there, a woman may not be there, you are there all the time. The grace to be faithful, the strength to be faithful, the courage to be faithful, the backbone to be faithful, grant unto everyone in Jesus' name. We know you are preparing a kingdom. We will be there. Keep us faithful unto the very end. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.